Welcome to the Beamsville Church of Christ online ministry. This week's service is titled The Holy Spirit at Pentecost. Thank you to Glynis, Dave, Janet, and Don for being part of the service. The scripture reading is Acts 1, 1-5. Happy anniversary to Mary and Brian, and happy birthday to Len and to Robin.
Okay, the reading today is from Acts chapter 1, verse 1-5. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days, and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit."
Good morning, everyone. Many of you know about the funeral yesterday of Kendra Whitfield Ellis. She was a wonderful teacher, wonderful preacher, and we enjoyed conversations together, especially dealing with scripture. And I woke up this morning thinking that I don't think I can do this. I don't think I can do this. But I know her. And she would say, "Uncle Don, do your job." That's Kendra. She would do her job. And she would expect others of us who are in the same occupation, no matter what, that sometimes you just have to do your job. And the only thing that I could think of preaching today is looking at the experience of first-time Christians, if you will. When Jesus was taken up into heaven, it was something that Jesus said was going to happen. And it's going to happen to us. We know where Kendra is. And it's amazing that she is with the Lord, she is with loved ones, and she's with us. And we are with her. And so I dedicate just some of these words today for Kendra. They aren't really my words. They're words written by Peter, written by Paul. And I just want to look at a couple of passages of scripture where it seemed like when Christians started growing, there was all of these evil things coming at them, and it was going to stop the growth of the church. But God is never going to leave that. He's never going to leave that alone. And so on one occasion, it says, while he was eating, Jesus was eating with them, he gave this command: "Don't leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, for which you've heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days, you will be baptized by the Holy Spirit." God's Spirit living in each of us. No man, no woman is an island. We have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit living in us with the promise: "I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I am always with you." We will see her again. So, how did this all begin? Well, in Acts chapter 2, there was something interesting. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together, the Christians, one place. But suddenly, like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. And they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire on each one of them. And now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. And when they heard this sound, they came together, and it was bewildering to them. What is this? And then they list all of the names of different countries that are hearing these words. Things, people from Parthia, from Medes, from Elamites, Pontus, and so forth and so forth. And I really don't even know where those countries were, but they were there, coming together. And so Peter, always Peter, stands up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I'm about to say. These people are not drunk. No, that's not happening. It's this. In these last days, God said, I will pour out my spirit on all people. I love this passage. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. They'll preach. Prophecy isn't just in the next 4 years, this is going to happen. Maybe that's part of it. But prophecy is declaring the word of the Lord. Preaching, prophesying, declaring the word of the Lord. I'm going to pour out my spirit on all people. We have the Holy Spirit living in us. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in these days. For some reason, in churches in the past, it was always a man standing behind a pulpit and preaching. That's just the way it was. But that wasn't the way it was in the Bible. There were men and women who declared the word of the Lord. They preached. And one of the things besides our beautiful Kendra was that not only did she walk along with people in sadness and death and hospitals and so forth, but she preached as sweetly as she lived. It was part of her. People loved when Kendra preached, because it was authentic, it was full of God's Spirit, and it was love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and control. And people would come to her and talk to her and they would tell her how much they appreciated her. And Kendra would quickly dismiss that. She wanted to talk about them. Living and loving in a precious way. So at Pentecost, it's just too overwhelming. Kendra's passing for me was overwhelming. But these words come. People of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, for it was impossible for death to keep its grasp on him. True with Kendra. Is she past? Yes. Is she with the Lord? Yes. Is she with us? Always. Always. So, we go through these times. And as I said to Barb today, I'm not sure I can do this. Kendra would want you to. So, they devoted themselves, these apostles, teaching the fellowship, breaking of bread as we've done, prayer, wonders and miraculous signs, all of these things taking place in this one location where the church was going to shoot out far and wide, all throughout the world as it is today. And then these words, salvation is found in no one else, for there's no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. And when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men have been with Jesus. Have you been with Jesus? Jesus is in us. So I think it's probably important to reciprocate that. If Jesus is living in us, we need to be living with him, for him. His love, his patience, his goodness. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything we have. And one of the great things about a church is that we do share. We share spiritually, we share physically, we share listening to people who are hurting and crying. We rejoice with people who are getting married. We're sad when people pass, but we also know that God said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I'm always with you, no matter what. So day after day, Christians gathered together, and from house to house, they couldn't stop proclaiming the good news that Jesus is Lord. And then the word spread. So many of the disciples increased rapidly. And so in this book of Acts, where Paul and Peter and others are sharing, everything's going along great. But, you know, Satan has his hand on these things as well. Chapter 8, on that great day, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Samaria. It'd be like coming in and everybody of some kind of evil thing saying, get out of this church building. Don't ever come back. It's not yours anymore. Don't even think about it. That's the way it was in that first century. Christians get lost, get rid of it, nothing anymore. But God wasn't going to let that happen. He never let that happen. So here was this man, Saul, who wanted to get rid of the church, persecuting the church. And this Saul turns into the name Paul, who writes the majority of the Bible and who loves God with all of his heart, soul, mind, and strength. And throughout this book of Acts, there are people who are sharing the message, Paul, Peter, Philip, so many people throughout the book. But there was always people trying to neg it. Church. For example, chapter 9, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if they found any of those who belonged to the way, Christians, whether men or women, that they might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. And as he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him, and he fell to the ground, and he heard the voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And Saul asked, who are you, Lord? And then these words, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Get up, go into the city, and you'll be told what you must do. And then skipping down in verse 9, for 3 days Saul was blind. The Lord called to him. He answered, yes, Lord. He said, go into this house of the street. And he talks about the person that they're going to see. Then he says, but the Lord said to Ananias, this man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and the kings before the people of Israel, and I will show him how much he has to suffer for my name. See, yesterday there was joy with suffering. No words. Just lots of hugs. Sometimes there were funny things. Sharing about ministry, chatting. But more than anything else, everybody just wanted to come together. Just to be together. Chat, share. Oh, and the singing. Oh my goodness, the singing. I thought with the music that was played at this funeral, if that's heaven's music, it surely must be. Because it's not just the melody, it's the words and the sharing. So, as we go through this wonderful Bible that we have, we just remember that preaching is important. That was her life. The counsel is important. That was her life. But that she knew that she could come along people, and they knew they were safe with her. Brief message today. May we do the same. Amen.
Thanks for watching or listening. The Beamsville Church of Christ meets at 4900 John Street, Beamsville, Ontario. Scripture quotations marked NIV, taken from the Holy Bible, New International Version, NIV, copyright 2011 by Biblica, Inc. Used by permission, all rights reserved worldwide. You can learn more about the congregation on our Facebook page or at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.